There's nothing like a discussion about vaccines to end friendships, make your family doctor go red in the face, or result in millions of hours of wasted time in online debates. The issue is not getting better, but the COVID-19 fraud probably had the unintended effect of waking up more people than ever before to the actual science of vaccination. Additionally, one of the effects of the new mRNA injections was to create a large group who were against these particular vaccines, while simultaneously maintaining a belief in most other vaccines. Let's have a look at why this quote novel technology is simply another gambit to propagate infectious disease mythology and bamboozle the public, all the while keeping them trapped in the medico-pharmaceutical germ theory paradigm. On January 5th, an article was published on the MIT Technology Review website titled, "What's Next for mRNA Vaccines?" There was no question mark in the title, so perhaps it was intended as a statement, suggesting to the world what kind of, quote, medicine is in the pipeline. The article began as follows. "Cast your mind back to 2020 if you can bear it. As the year progressed, so did the impact of COVID-19. We were warned that wearing face coverings, disinfecting everything we touched, and keeping away from other people were some of the only ways we could protect ourselves from the potentially fatal disease. Even for people who believe in the existence of viruses, this is a preposterous depiction of what happened in 2020. In fact, nothing happened in 2020 apart from a fraudulent narrative involving an alleged novel coronavirus that at various times has been said to either come from a wet market, a bat cave, or drumroll please, a laboratory. In a way, COVID-19 did come from a lab, but only in the form of in silico dry lab simulations that were used to make up the existence of SARS-CoV-2. Similarly, the laboratory tests such as the PCR and rapid antigen tests that were deployed did not require the existence of a virus to be positive. They only required circular reasoning based on the in silico models with the sequences and proteins falsely claimed to be, quote, viral. The MIT article claims there was a potentially fatal disease, at which point we would ask, what disease? Even on their own terms, COVID-19 is simply confirmed on the basis of molecular detection assays that have no established diagnostic validity. COVID-19 is not a disease. It is a global fraud sustained by a medical system that lost its way a long time ago. As my virus mania co-author Klaus Kernlein explained in 2020, it is a PCR pandemic. There was no new disease, only new tests and plenty of gullible people. In any case, this MIT story sets the scene with the same picture painting to make people believe there are infectious disease epidemics, when in reality they don't exist. And of course the establishment always has one endpoint in mind with the narrative, and that's vaccines. So the article continues by stating that, "Thankfully a more effective form of protection was in the works. Scientists were developing all new vaccines at rapid speed. By the end of the year, the US Food and Drug Administration issued emergency use authorization for these vaccines, and vaccination efforts took off. As things stand today, over 670 million doses of the vaccines have been delivered to people in the US. This has been the typical vaccine playbook for over a century. Alleged that people are getting sick because of microbes, whether they be real, such as bacteria, or imagined, such as viruses, and then claim that vaccines are the best solution. Cover up the fact that contagion has never been demonstrated in a scientific study, and then, like this MIT article, imply that the success of a vaccine is based on how many of them are dished out. In this regard, Dissolving Illusions is one of the best books dealing with this mythology. Suzanne Humphreys and Roman Bistrianic deliver a fatal blow to the theory that vaccines had anything to do with improving health outcomes last century. In particular, many of the charts they have put together are rather embarrassing for anyone claiming that vaccines were the key to defeating diseases. It doesn't matter if you believe in pathogens or not, because as it stands, there is no scientific evidence that vaccines are useful to anyone apart from those that benefit from selling them. However, the medical industry is a dangerous cult when it comes to vaccines. Only a tiny minority of doctors have the courage to point out the fraud, because doing so typically results in suspension or at least limited work opportunities. Most doctors prefer to keep their head in the sand and not question their overlords, especially if their incomes could be affected in any way. As Aniram Bevan explained in 1948, he persuaded British doctors to accept the National Health Service, not by any merits, but by stuffing their mouths with gold. In saying that, many doctors seem to genuinely believe that vaccines are useful, although almost universally they have done none of their own research and just follow protocols. They may come across something like the CDC's 10 Great Public Health Achievements, United States 1900 to 1999, see that vaccination is at the top of the list, and conclude it must be good. However, we have dedicated a huge amount of time to following the links on the CDC's website, and none of them lead to any scientific evidence that vaccines are beneficial to the recipients. Similarly, our Virus Mania team has contacted many of the medical institutions around the world, requesting they provide any papers that follow the scientific method and demonstrate overall health benefits of vaccinations. To date, none have provided any. That's why the World Economic Forum, one of the biggest gaslighting shows currently running, reports that vaccination is one of the world's most successful health interventions, saving as many as 3 million lives every year. The WEF is concerned about vaccine hesitancy and parroted the WHO claim that the reasons people choose not to vaccinate are complex. We can stop them right there, because there's no point going further. The reason is actually simple. Many people can see that the products are dangerous and ineffective, and like my family, don't accept any of them. The decision is based on reviewing the scientific literature as well as our own experience. None of us get these diseases despite not taking the vaccines. Incredibly, the vaccine scam is building momentum, and in the last few years, the number of them administered to the world has been enormous. And there are no signs of the jabs easing up, with mRNA vaccines being touted as solutions for all kinds of problems. As the MIT article stated, while the first approved mRNA vaccines are for COVID-19, similar vaccines are now being explored for a whole host of other diseases. Malaria, HIV, tuberculosis, and Zika are just some of the potential targets. mRNA vaccines might also be used in cancer treatments tailored to individual people. The suggested wider use of vaccines in these conditions is not new, of course. In my video, The Future of Vaccines, I mentioned the 2007 PricewaterhouseCoopers report, Pharma 2020, The Vision. Which path will you take? In this publication, they listed the potential development of vaccines for cocaine addiction, diabetes, hypertension, Alzheimer's disease, psoriasis, food allergies, rheumatoid arthritis, and nicotine withdrawal. What has changed since then is the focus on not just vaccines, but mRNA vaccines. Before we move on to these products, PwC had warned Big Pharma that the shortage of good medicines in the pipeline underlies many of the other challenges pharma faces, including its increasing expenditure on sales and marketing, deteriorating financial performance, and damaged reputation. In the last few years, Big Pharma worked out that you don't need good medicines in the pipeline. They simply arranged for governments to do the marketing and purchasing for them, all at the expense of the taxpayers.
CBS Health Watch, sponsored by Pfizer.
The WEF has also cheered on the highway robbery, stating on their website in 2020 that more than 140 world leaders have called for a COVID-19 vaccine to be made available free to everyone. Anyone that has read Henry Hazlitt's Economics in One Lesson knows that there is no such thing as a free product or service. Someone always has to cover the cost. In the COVID era, there was a vast transfer of wealth, and all of us have had to pay in one way or another, with some people who accepted the injection paying with their lives as well. The pharmaceutical companies are now all chomping at the bit to sell phenomenal quantities of vaccines to governments, either through these false pandemics or through their most prized cash cow, getting a product onto childhood vaccination schedules. The problem Big Pharma has with, quote, regular vaccines is that, for their liking, they take too long to develop. On that note, the Wellcome Trust had a graphic titled The 5 Stages of Vaccine Development, which reported that a vaccine usually takes more than 10 years to develop and costs up to $500 million. Interestingly, the page was removed from their website at some point in late 2020, just before a certain product was released onto the world's population. And this is where mRNA vaccines come into play. COVID-19 was used as an excuse to rush into distribution the, quote, novel technology. No more waiting 10 years to get the products injected into people. Part of the COVID scam has been to make people think that pharmaceuticals can be tested in a matter of months. It was fascinating in early 2020 to see the mantra, safe and effective, being parroted by much of the medical community and the wider public. Leaving aside the non-existence of a virus and a new disease, how could there possibly be any long-term safety data? There wasn't, of course, and pharmacovigilance was completely thrown out the door. Once upon a time, I was a clinical trials physician, and I can assure you that no products were ever released in a matter of months. In fact, most spent years in development and never made it to the wider public, often because there were too many adverse reactions. In the COVID-19 fraud and war on humanity, Dr. John Bevan-Smith and my husband Mark wrote at the start of the essay that the plan to inject the masses with so-called mRNA technology was already in the pipeline prior to the declaration of the alleged pandemic. All it took was a narrative featuring an imaginary coronavirus.
The world was being prepared for a pandemic, and on December 4th, 2019, Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, stated that his agency was conducting and supporting research to develop state-of-the-art vaccine platform technologies that could be used to develop universal influenza vaccines, as well as to improve the speed and agility of the influenza vaccine manufacturing process. These platform technologies include DNA, messenger RNA, virus-like particles, vector-based, and self-assembling nanoparticle vaccines.
Somewhat incredibly, the public have mostly gone along with the swindle and have allowed themselves to be injected as many times as they are told, even if it is making them sicker. One would suspect that a major goal for the COVID fear campaign was to normalize this complicit and illogical behavior while creating the infrastructure to repeat the process in the future. Fellow COVID skeptic Denny Rancor also commented on this very aspect in a recent interview.
This is about putting into place a military system of injection that is globalized, that is whenever they want, they can inject you with whatever they want under the pretext of health. That's what this is about. It's in my view, it's that kind of a weapon that they've put into place. They now have the possibility, they've convinced you that it's a good idea to be injected whenever they like with whatever they say. And they've put into place all the procedures and all the mechanisms to do that. And they bought out all the right people, and they can go into an entire continent and virtually inject everybody.
The establishment became so comfortable with their, quote, success, that they openly flaunted the mass compliance behavior where people had previously been much more skeptical. Who could forget in November 2021 when president of Bayer's pharmaceuticals division, Stefan Olerich, admitted at the World Health Summit that COVID-19 had made all this possible?
Ultimately, the mRNA vaccines are an example for that cell and gene therapy. I always like to say, if we had surveyed 2 years ago, in the public, would you be willing to take gene or cell therapy and inject it into your body, we would have probably had a 95% refusal rate. I think this pandemic has also opened many people's eyes to innovation in the way that was maybe not possible before.
And how does the MIT article finish? Well, apparently, in 2023, we can expect an updated COVID-19 vaccine, and researchers are hopeful we'll see more mRNA vaccines enter clinics in the near future. I really hope that in the next couple of years, we will have other approved mRNA vaccines against infectious disease, says Norbert Pardee. He is planning ahead for the next global disease outbreak, which may well involve a flu virus. We don't know when the next pandemic will hit, but we have to be ready for it, he says. It's crystal clear that if you start vaccine development in the middle of a pandemic, it's already too late. This is why we and our colleagues focus on exposing the fallacy of contagion and so-called infectious diseases. As all of us have explained, these are illusions propagated by the medico-pharmaceutical industry, illusions that are now used to control the population and engineered to transfer vast quantities of wealth from the masses to crony corporations. The only pandemics in the world are things like obesity and anxiety due to lack of purpose and exposure to fear narratives. As Tom Cowan said, perhaps the biggest pandemic is an unprecedented pandemic of not thinking. As a group, we do not spend a lot of time analysing what the mRNA shots do in the body because it is largely speculative. My Virus Mania co-author, Stefano Scolio, has explained that the literature surrounding the shots is full of assumptions, and only one thing is clear. They are toxic bombs that, once injected into a human, can potentially cause a variety of inflammatory responses and even death. It is clear that vaccines are going to be used as a mechanism to control the population, maintain a fear narrative, and continue to enrich a tiny minority at the expense of the many. However, as these filthy products are exposed for what they really are, expect an all-out propaganda campaign as they desperately try to claim that those not accepting vaccines are dangerous extremists.
We have to recognize that anti-vaccine activism, which I actually call anti-science aggression, has now become a major killing force globally. During the COVID pandemic in the United States, 200,000 Americans needlessly lost their lives because they refused a COVID vaccine, even after vaccines became widely available. And now that anti-vaccine activism is expanding across the world, even into low and middle income countries. It's a killing force. Anti-science now kills more people than things like gun violence, global terrorism, nuclear proliferation, or cyber attacks. And now it's become a political movement. In the U.S., it's linked to far extremism on the far right, same in Germany. So this is a new face of anti-science aggression. And so we need political solutions to address this.
mRNA vaccines are just the latest chapter in the psychological war. And I hope you don't lose sight of the fraud taking place upstream. That is the misplaced belief in germ theory. Is it any wonder that the public is getting a little suspicious of us and our vaunted discoveries? The wonder to me is that there are still 70 million of them willing to submit to vaccination and serum treatment. How much good did we do these poor fellows? Ask Edward Jenner. He knows now, if so be that we know after death, and am willing to believe that he would gladly spend a part of his eternity in purgatory if he could undo the wrong he did the world by vaccination. Who Are the Quacks? By William Howard Hay, 1940. If you enjoyed this video, please visit support.drsam.com